Godly Habits, 7 Practices to Grow You as a Disciple of Jesus. Chapter 1, Prayer. Jesus was a productive chap. He had a fair bit on his plate and a fair mission to strive for, living the perfectly obedient life, dying for the sins of the world and rising from the grave to inaugurate the kingdom of God are more than I can ever slot onto my CV. So we modern people find his tendency to duck off to pray at any hour intriguing. In fact, we find it baffling. How could someone with that much to do afford to spend so much time doing nothing but praying? After long days of healing and teaching or performing miraculous wonders, Jesus retires to pray. In one case, at the end of a day filled with thousands of hungry people, or perhaps with thousands of hungry people filled, instead of taking a power nap or heading to the bar for a cleansing ale, he left the disciples and the crowds and went up on a mountainside to pray. In Mark 1, very early the morning after, healing the whole town, while it was still dark, Jesus went to a solitary place to pray. He was a person who was truly too busy not to pray. And we find that baffling. Yet the truly baffling thing is that we know we have an ever-present invitation and the same ever-ready-to-listen Heavenly Father, and we so rarely do what Jesus did. Prayer is the perfect habit to begin with. Prayer is the perfect habit to begin your day with. Some have described it as a keystone habit, the one habit or change that unlocks other habits or positive changes or good decisions, the first domino in the line, if you will. This is particularly true if you start your day with prayer. Think of the alternatives to starting your day with prayer. You start your day with fear or anxiety. I have too much to do today. I'll never get it all done. I don't want to face that exam, client, friend, manager, or situation. Or you start your day with regret. I shouldn't have stayed up so late, eaten or drunk that much, gone to that place, and so on. Or even you start your day with your phone, which can involve any combination of regret, fear, and anxiety, with the added potential of anger and envy depending on whether you thumb through news, emails, or social media. I can't believe that happened overnight. What is this world coming to? My clients and co-workers have made excessive demands and look like my day is shot already. Or, wow, he or she got a new car, boyfriend, promotion, fancy holiday, fancy breakfast, more likes or followers than me. That's not fair. And if you think about it, each of those ways to start is telling and retelling a story to yourself at the very beginning of the day. And none of those stories will start you off on a Jesus-loving, God-trusting, other person-centered course. Even if you're an optimist and you jump out of bed each morning, ready to attack the world with renewed vigor, you're still starting the day with a story about yourself that exaggerates your own importance and prevents you from grounding the next 12 hours in the goodness of God and the needs of others. When we pray, we are in a way telling another story to ourselves, or preaching a different and true gospel to ourselves. When we pray first thing in the morning, it does set the course of our day into a different direction, which is why it's considered a keystone habit. Of course, prayer is way more than a set of words by which we tell ourselves a different story to the one our culture tells. Prayer is words, and words form communication, and communication fuels relationship. That is to say, prayer is the language of friendship with and reliance upon God. And you don't need to pray long prayers of long sentences with long words to fuel relationship with God. Actually, you can make a pretty good argument that shorter words express dependence better than lofty ones. When Jesus was teaching about prayer, and he knows more about it than anyone else, he specifically told us to avoid babbling on, mistakenly thinking we will be heard because of our many words. Silence and solitude has power. But even small, repeated words have potential to reframe the day before it begins, as well as to reshape the story of our day where we're in the middle of its flurry and activity, or as we reflect upon the day at its end. Give it a go, number one. Morning, midday, evening prayers. also known as the daily office. Find two or three times during the day when you can pause for a few minutes for prayer. Make one of them first thing in the morning before you do anything else, even if it's just a short prayer. Make another the last thing you do in the evening. And if you can find time in the middle of the day, even better, though you might have to set an alarm to remind you until it becomes a habit, which is a great way to make our tech work for us. Here's a sample morning prayer, which you can say before you even get out of bed because it's easy to memorize. Loving Heavenly Father, would you be with me this day? Give me a loving devotion to the work you put before me, the people you put around me, and the King you put over me, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen. And a sample evening prayer, which you can say as you get ready for bed at night. This one uses the plural, as you might like to pray it over your household or family. Lighten our darkness, Lord, and give us the rest we so desire and need. In your great mercy, defend us from the dangers of the night, so that we might lovingly serve your Son afresh. In Jesus' name, amen. You could print these on either side of a card you leave next to your bed. In the middle of the day, you could pray something like, Lord Jesus, I was made to join your work in the world. Please order the rest of my day in love for the people you have given me to serve. Amen. You could pray your midday prayers with a Christian colleague or classmate or member of your household who's around. And you can include whatever else you'd like to pray, and you can pray at any hour of the day. And you can always pray or finish your prayers with the Lord's Prayer, which is, after all, the prayer by which Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Max from our congregation says, I've come to realize that when it comes to setting aside time to be with God, that needs to be an intentional plan. When I first started out, I used a devotional book called 7 Minutes with God, which just encouraged me that I could do this. I could meet with God. I find that having songs of praise for me to sing is a great thing to do. It's been significant for me to spend time in the Psalms because there's that sense in the Psalms that you can bring your emotions before God. They operate as a springboard for other prayers. They also give me things to aspire to. And I realize that I'm not there yet. So I can then turn and pray, Father, can you change my heart so that I'm kind of like that, like what the psalmist has written. Give it a go, number 2, silence and solitude. As the saying goes, silence is golden. Well, that's more than golden when it helps us clear out the clutter of the day and draws us back to God's loving control of the cosmos. Silence helps us to realize that the world can go on without us for 5 minutes or an hour or even longer. Silence usually requires solitude and at the very least a quiet place, but it provides the space for God to bring things to bear upon our spirits from his word or from our interactions during the day that we might not have noticed amidst the distractions and disruptions. Silence and solitude might lead to prayer or meditation on a passage or verse of scripture, but the point is thinking quietly about God. If you've never tried this before, start by setting aside 5 minutes each day for silence. Find a quiet place. It could be your room or your parked car, in the office, the school library, even the shower. Put your phone somewhere else and breathe deeply and slowly. Your mind might wander, but bring it back to the presence of God by recalling a verse of scripture. It may not take long for you to extend your time to 10 minutes or even longer. You might also want to combine silence and solitude with the set prayers of the daily office. Some helpful hints. Try kneeling. Denzel Washington once said, put your shoes way under the bed at night, so you've got to get on your knees in the morning to find them. And while you're down there, thank God for grace and mercy and understanding. Well, you've got to love Denzel. But posture makes a difference, and anything is better than lying in bed. Don't diss repetition. Habits are about building routines by direct effort until they take less effort and become automated. Repeating prayers at set times helps build the habit, but even the repeated words and phrases can be your friends when building habits. But the phone is not your friend, not for prayer and silence anyway. So leave it in another room or in a dresser drawer, out of sight and out of sound. Pray the daily office prayers with your spouse or children or housemates. Prayer doesn't have to be a solo venture. In fact, pray with others as often as you can. Pray with others at church. Say grace at the dinner table. Pray over the phone at the end of a conversation. Volunteer to pray in your growth group. Use the thoughtful prayers of others. If you don't know what to pray for, use a collection of prayers like Charles Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, or collects from the Anglican Prayer Book, or Puritan collections. Or just start with the set prayers. Do it, then do it again the next day. The Puritans were fond of saying, pray yourself into prayer, which was sort of just do it for their era.